As I said, usually they make the exit before I start, but we lock the door this time. Well, as you already have picked up, we're talking about the shepherd this morning. It's just such a beautiful picture of our relationship with Christ. Now, shepherd. You know, I'm not sure, but I don't think I ever saw a shepherd in my life. Did you see shepherds? Well, you well-traveled folks probably did. I haven't. But there's lots and lots of it in the Bible. And you know something I also didn't know? Of all of the multitude of references in the scriptures about shepherds, did you know that there are 7 specific shepherds? You know that? I didn't know that till maybe a couple of weeks ago. 7 identifiable, significant shepherds. Like to guess who some of them are? It should be pretty easy. David, that's one we automatically think of, and that one is very, very significant, as we will see in just a moment. Actually, he's number 5. See, that's right, yes, number 5. Hey, Abel is the first one. And you know something that's interesting about Abel? He gave his life for his occupation. Isn't that interesting? So Abel is the very first shepherd. So we got 1 in 5. Can you think of some more? I beg your pardon? Was he a significant shepherd? I know that was his occupation. Is he cited as one? Let's say, well, then we've got 8. That's good. Oh, yes, thank you. Was Abraham actually a shepherd? Okay, well, he did. Yeah, he for sure he did. All right, so we've got them adding up now. Was Lot a shepherd too? You had plenty of sheep, yeah, all right. Well, okay, so we got Lot. You see, those owners, now we have to understand this. In big conglomerates like Lot, Seattle, see, they have underlings do their shepherding for them. See, so that could be the way Abraham was too, you know. But these are significant people in the Word of God who are associated with sheep, like Amos, as Al said, and Abraham. But I'm speaking of shepherds now, not the big conglomerates. Jacob absolutely was one. Oh, yes. He not only owned them, but he tended them too. See, that's what I'm really driving at. Those who are really shepherds. Yeah. We have Abel. We have Jacob. We've got David already. Isaac dug a lot of wells, but I don't recall his being a shepherd. And I'm not saying he wasn't. See, you know more than I do about that, but I'm just thinking of... we got Abel, we know, when he gave up his life for his occupation. I think that's very interesting. Then we've got Jacob, then Joseph. First time we ever see Joseph, he was feeding the flock. Huh? How about Moses? You ever think of Moses? Oh, you thought of Moses. I was just one split second ahead of you there. I tell you what, because I'm always usually a little slower, we'll give you credit, and we'll give you the prize. Incidentally, we have a prize this morning. The winner gets a year's supply of my old sermon notes. Yeah. What? Hold on. The loser gets a 2-year supply of my old sermon notes. So, all right. Now, so you be careful now what you do. All right, so far we got... In addition to the conglomerate owners like Abraham, okay, and so on, we've got Abel, and we've got Jacob and Joseph, and we've got Moses, and then we've got David. Then we come to the mysterious shepherd. He's mentioned in Zechariah. Not specifically by name, but he's called the idol shepherd. Now, I didn't really ever know about the idol shepherd, I confess, until I was reading in a little book last week, and he said the idol shepherd is shepherd in the, as specifically mentioned shepherds now. Arthur Pink says he's number 6, which is the number of the Antichrist. And he's called the idol shepherd, and you'll read about him in Zechariah. I believe it's chapter 11. I believe that's right, close by anyway. Well, the next shepherd is the Lord Jesus, and he's the one we're talking about this morning. He's the real one. He's the one that is, regardless of how many there are in the scriptures, he's the real one. The real one. And did you know that in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, these are prophesied? We have a prophecy of what a shepherd should be like and what a shepherd should not be like, and we're going to see how the Lord Jesus is like that. Now, if we look over at a couple of verses of Scripture, if we look in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, which is probably, I think, the best known verse about what a shepherd should be, it is just such a very beautiful picture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. See if you don't agree with me that this is just such a magnificent picture. Tender, loving. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. That verse just exudes love and tenderness. The shepherd-sheep relationship is a very special relationship, I read. And again, remember, we are seeing little splinters which form a picture of the greater shepherd and our relationship right now, this minute, with the Lord Jesus Christ, but, of course, ultimately, as he reigns on earth and as we dwell eternally with him in heaven. Feeds, nourishes, guides, protects, total care, because the sheep. I'm told now, and remember Dr. McBride, he knew quite a bit about the shepherd relationship. The sheep's pretty dumb. He relies totally on the shepherd for everything he needs. Well, okay, now that's one picture. If you look over in the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 34, we will see another prophecy of what the shepherd should be. Chapter 34, and if you look down around verse 11, Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is just a few books after Isaiah there. Find that okay? Everybody find that okay? Everybody got Ezekiel now? All right, help me find it, because I'm fumbling a little bit. Oh, yes, I see. All right, yeah. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 878. Verse 11, Ezekiel 34. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I. And when you see that, that means listen carefully, because God says, I. That's important. Will both search my sheep and seek them out. And when we wander off the path, somebody's got to bring us back. Who's that going to be? As a shepherd seeketh out the flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. Don't you love that terminology? In a fat pasture. Shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel? I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, bring them again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, that is, the phony shepherds, and will feed them with judgment. And so we have a hint here that all is not sweetness and light among the shepherds. We must always know that. We are warned about false shepherds, even today. These are those who are masquerading in various masks. Preachers? Yep. But there, and I think it was last Sunday night, I think Karen asked me about, and I mentioned something like this. But you know, and I got thinking about that. I know some physicians were false prophets. Yes, physicians. Who, in ministering to the body, are now superimposing various types of spiritual teachings that are not necessarily scriptural to go along with their physical ministering. Well, politicians, how about that? We have politicians who are now bordering over into the religious and imposing on us their own viewpoint along with their political. What's the nicest thing I can say? Hogwash is pretty nice, isn't it? Yeah, that's a nice term. We'll just go ahead and use that. See, here's what I'm saying about that. Everybody who says he is a shepherd isn't a shepherd. He may not have that which is good for us by way of protection. Going to show you a picture of that. Ezekiel 34, chapter 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel said, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. Against the shepherds? Yes. See, they're not all good guys. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Shepherds supposed to feed the flock. But woe to them that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with wool, and you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you've ruled them. You don't rule sheep with cruelty. I mean, they of all animals. They were scattered, and because there's no shepherd, they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. None did search or seek after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey. My flock became a meat to every beast of the field because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. So there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. Now, I hope this brings us to the point that we're ready to take a look at today's lesson, which is John chapter 10. John chapter 10, which is about the sheep-shepherd relationship. Last week's lesson was about the healing of the blind man, as you recall. And Brother Brown pointed out that this man, blind from birth, possibly didn't even have any eyes. Something had to be created. And so the Lord Jesus, in an act of creation, went to the earth, the same place that you and I came from, the dust of the earth, and with his spittle made clay, put it on his eyes and gave him further instructions regarding the pool of Siloam, as you recall. This was a creative act, an act of actually, literally, I believe, making him some eyes. I mean, new eyeballs, new lenses, new pupils. If he got two pupils, is that two pupae? Is that the way that works? Well, anyway, he had two of them. You see, one in his eye, one in that eye. So we got the whole new deal. As a matter of fact, wouldn't you like to have had his eyes and his vision? It came about as an act of creation from the Lord Jesus himself. Everybody should have been dancing and singing and having a big party. This man who was born from blind has new eyes. You know what the shepherd said? Too bad for you. But I can see now. Sorry about that. Well, who healed you? Well, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, now I can see. But in confessing that the Lord Jesus is the one who healed him, you know what the shepherds said to him? Get out. And I had already cast out the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus, read this in chapter 9, this was in last week's lesson, sought him out. As shepherds are supposed to seek the sheep, he sought him out. Now, the Lord Jesus did not say this. I think I would have. Hey, look, you're in good company. They just cast me out too. The false shepherds were so intent on feeding themselves and gaining power and control over the sheep, they themselves became the fulfillment of these prophecies of false shepherds. Now, that brings us then to chapter 10. And the Lord Jesus now is speaking to the Pharisees. Remember, he is speaking to the false shepherds when he says this. And there should be no chapter division here. It should end something like this. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remaineth." You betcha. You are in sin. Terrible, deep sin of the worst sort. "Verily I say unto you," say unto you whom? False shepherds. "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, a sheepfold was a kind of a holding pen for lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of sheep. It was kind of what we would call a cooperative, a co-op. So all the sheep owners now, had a piece of the action. So they built this gigantic holding pen, and when the shepherds brought the sheep in at the end of the day, they all took them into this giant holding pen. And the first time, years ago, I read that, I said, what a mess. How in the world are they going to untangle this mess? All these sheep mingling and commingling and running around in there together, and how will they ever straighten this thing out? No problem. Very simple. The shepherd speaks, and his sheep follow him. It's as simple as that. Their ears know his voice, and that's all it takes to untangle the mess. You see how simply the Lord does things. Well, the frequency that those shepherds' voices were on, his particular sheep were attuned to that frequency, and the moment the shepherd spoke, that was all it took. I never thought of this before, but Rosemary and I took a little trip yesterday, as may have told you, just a very short little journey, and I have to sort of study on the run, as I said. Sounds like one of my little quips, but it's the truth. So I said, "Read to me." You know, sound like one of our children at bedtime. "Read to me." And I think sometimes she thinks I'm one of her children at bedtime, pats me on the head and starts reading to me as we're driving along. I'm driving, she's reading. What now? What she's reading is J. Vernon McGee's little booklet on John. And here's a just absolutely beautiful thought. I don't know that it's true, but I think it's beautiful. Remember, it is that the sheep has an ear attuned to the frequency of the shepherd. And in all those, let's say, thousands of sheep, if I'm the shepherd and 100 of them are mine, I speak, my 100 sheep follow follow me because they recognize my voice. Now, J. Vernon McGee says that when that last trumpet sounds and he calls us, all the millions who are alive on earth at that time and the millions who are in the graves, he's going to call their names. Now, you know, that sounds like it's too hard, doesn't it? How in the world are you going to call all these names? Why not thinking about that? Have you ever thought that that tiny little, almost unseen little optic kind of wire that they're using these days, all these things are light years ahead of what I could ever dream of, the hundreds of messages that can go on that little thing. You can barely see it. As a matter of fact, you can put hundreds of messages on nothing but a beam to the satellite. Well, that's nothing. Well, yes, it is something. I don't understand it. As a matter of fact, I still think there's a little man in the radio. I don't understand it. All I know is it could easily happen with God. And I like the sound of it when he says, "John, Elmer, you know, Henry, Sally, come up here." I believe that. But it's certainly no problem for the shepherd to separate the sheep. Now, here are all these sheep together. And the teaching that the real serious students of the Word say, and I'm in full agreement with this, this holding pen is Israel. And the door is not for him to get in, it's for the sheep to get out. You see, there came a point to where all of the sacrifices no longer were necessary because the real sacrifice is here. All of these various ceremonies no longer necessary
because the real showbread is here. The real lampstand is here. The real altar of incense is here. The real mercy seat is here. We no longer need those things. We need to come out. We need to come away from these things. And so that sheepfold is for the voice of the shepherd to call his sheep out of those old-fashioned, archaic, antiquated customs and traditions. The Lord Jesus says in verse 1, those that come another way than the scriptural way that Messiah is supposed to come, that is, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, and so on and so on, with family lineage that goes all the way back to Abraham and David and Solomon and Nathan and even back to Adam. How can that be? It was. And it's clearly outlined in the Scriptures. He came the way he should come as exactly prophesied by the Scriptures. He's the real one. The others are thieves and robbers. I came for the door to let you come out of this archaic, antiquated system. Verse 2, he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The porter was the guard to be sure that people did not come in that should not have come in, and to let the shepherd in. Now, various people say various things. The porter is the Holy Spirit. Brother Ironside says it's John the Baptist. I have no real problem with either one. It was John the Baptist that introduced the Messiah, the shepherd, to Israel as their shepherd. So, in that he would be the porter, and the sheep hear his voice and calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out, you see, out of this archaic, antiquated system of offerings and all. No, by this time, the rabbis had put so many restrictions on everything that nobody, even the lawyers, didn't understand it. You heard the old joke, when you would have two lawyers, you had three opinions. So you multiply all these weighty kinds of things about exactly how to wash your hands, exactly how far you can walk and on what occasions, and so on. It was very tiresome. And the Lord Jesus came to lead him out of all that, and that's what he is saying here. As the true shepherd, I'm coming to lead you out. When he putteth forth his own sheep and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus, verse 7, unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. Now, here's the second door. The first door is the door of the sheepfold, for the sheep to come out. The second one is the door of the sheep, the door of the sheep. And he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So then, the thieves and the robbers, I hope the Pharisees are getting the point. Do you understand, Mr. False Shepherd, that you are a thief and a robber because you did not come according to the scripturally prescribed way? And further, you're not doing what is scripturally prescribed because you are living on the sheep. The sheep should be living on you. I don't know why this came to my mind. It just did, but I was in my teens, I guess, and I heard this great, big, I mean, this huge, huge, waddling guy, very strong, powerful, garrulous voice, raised the ceiling, and somebody said, well, what's your occupation? He said, well, my occupation is that I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I shepherd the sheep. You know? And so after some conversation with this great big booming voice, he said, well, I've got to go now. Well, where are you going? Well, I've got to go skin my sheep. Now, I didn't know anything. Still don't know much. But I don't think a shepherd's supposed to skin sheep, is he? Aren't you supposed to feed them and tenderly lead them and gather them in your bosom and take care of them? Because sheep are pretty dumb. They have to have total care. Now, so they need to come out of that system. But also they need the freedom to come and go as they like. Well, the Lord Jesus continues Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, here's a couple of interesting things happen here. This is the third time he says this. I am the door. By me, if any man. Now he's getting down to one man. If any man. Not just Israel that he's coming to minister to as a shepherd. But if any man. Now, this is a little hint that the gospel is now going over the borders of the sheepfold of Israel. It's going to the world, and it no longer will deal with a nation, the masses of Israel. It will be dealing with individuals. This individual, this individual, this individual, this individual, this individual, and so on. Because our relationship with our shepherd is an individual one. You can't make the decision for me. I can't make the decision for you. It's highly individual, highly personal, highly individual. I am the door, and if by me, not just go in the door, by me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. So this is the door of salvation. This is the Lord Jesus, the door of salvation. I just recall something that Brother McBride shared with us, and I won't take time to look it up, but you can make a mental note and look at it for yourself. Where the altar is spoken of in Leviticus 1 for the sacrifice. It speaks of the altar in such a way that the altar where the animal is going to be sacrificed and the door were one and the same. The altar and the door are one and the same in the tabernacle. I say to you that this person who is speaking is the true shepherd who is saying, I am the door. I'm that door that was necessary in Leviticus to make the offering. I and the door are one. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I see something else there too. I see freedom. I don't see being bound with the chains of the Jewish Levitical system, which in themselves were only pictures of one who would come, but now he's here, and Israel was freed from them. I am the door, and if by me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and have the freedom to come in to the fold for fellowship, or go out to find pasture. This is the total freedom that we have in fellowship and feeding with our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another kind, well, let's continue on, and I want to tell you about that other kind of holding pen in just a second. The thief cometh not, but steal, and to kill, and to destroy, and I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then he says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, here's a definition of a good shepherd right here. I want to see this. Here's a definition of a good shepherd. And any time you ever have suspicion about the credentials of any shepherd, this is it. This is going to separate the men from the boys. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Not one of those Pharisees would have given his life for the sheep. Not one of those fancy-dressed, highfalutin and high-spouting guys who don't even know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one of them would give his life for the sheep. This is it. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But he that's an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Now you notice it doesn't say the wolf eats them. Did you notice that? He scatters the sheep. That's another mark of the false shepherd. He scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That verse 16 is important, but I want to tell you about this second kind of little pen. And it speaks of Christ as the door. I should have dealt with this a little before, but still it's a beautiful picture. See, the great giant conglomerate holding pen has all the sheep in it. That's one with a sheepfold. All right. Now, there's another one, another kind of holding pen. When the shepherd's not feeding his sheep, it's for his own sheep. And he puts this little rock fence around and he puts his sheep in it, leaves an opening. Now, what's to keep the sheep from going in and out or a wild animal from coming into his pen? The shepherd. He becomes the door. In that open space there, he lays across the open space. He becomes the door. No wild animal can get in. None of his sheep can get out because the shepherd and the door are one and the same. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant by that. Now, this verse 16 is important too. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one shepherd. A couple of important things there. One is, the other sheep have I. Who are those other sheep? I am those other sheep. That's who. You are those other sheep. Here is another hint that everything he's saying about Israel is true. And he came unto his own Israel, and his own received him not. Israel. But to as many as received him, that's you and I, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These are the other sheep. Which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now that sounds very beautiful, but I have to chat with you a moment. Very, very important. Very personal. I want you to make a note of this. Study it for yourself. The Lord Jesus did not say one fold. He did not say one fold. Let me tell you how that slipped in here. The translators of the King James were reading Jerome's Latin Vulgate, and without doing their own research, they put fold in there. Now, I'll tell you what happened. The Roman Catholic Church saw this when Jerome wrote it, that it would be one fold, that is, one holding pen for the sheep. And the Roman Catholic Church has used this to say that, you see, it says right here, one organization, one fold. If you're not a member of that fold, you don't have him as your shepherd, and there's serious question about your eternal destiny. And I'm saying to you that that is totally false and fraudulent. Now, you and I would never have any problem with it for this reason. We have the ministry of hopefully all godly people who are sharing with us their knowledge of the Word of God, and they know this isn't fold, but you and I would never buy the fact that you have to be a member of any organization before you can have eternal life. You see, that's totally, totally fraudulent. Well, then what should it be? Flock. Look it up in your own concordance. It should be flock. As a matter of fact, Mr. Schofield has a note that it should read flock. You see, flock are living beings. They're people. A fold is a building. And if you look up fold, it has various meanings in your concordance, including our good old word hall. Yes. I'm sure that was not lost on some of the early brothers as they were gathering in this manner. You see, after the Reformation, and the winds of Reformation was blowing strongly all over Europe, what you really had was still a semblance of the same structure. They just didn't look to some guy's pope. But they still had the structure of that organization or that fold. See, a fold is a hall. A fold, this what we're in right now is a fold. In this building. But brother, sisters, you're not a fold. You're the flock. Do you see the difference in a fold and a flock? That's why this is so important to know that this, as Mr. Scope says, is a flock. There is one flock, and you and I belong to that flock who know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's our shepherd. And that is the one flock, and that is the one shepherd. That's all I got. That's all I want. That's all I need. He takes care of my total need. You see, He's talking about us. Other sheep have I, and it's us. And there shall be one flock. Verse 16. One flock. See Mr. Schofield's S there? Look at that S. says flock, and one shepherd, and that is the one who has identified himself as the good shepherd, the one who laid down his life for us. But it's more than that. This is kind of my little outline of little in my mind to help me remember this for many years. He is the good shepherd, and the definition is one who will lay down his life. He is the great shepherd. The great shepherd is the one who came forward from the grave and who lives with us right now, even this moment, as the resurrected shepherd, and who gathers with us, and who leads us and watches over us. And further, he is the chief shepherd. He's one yet to come, and he will come and call us by name as his sheep and call us out one more time. And then he's coming back to the earth with us, and we'll rule with him. That's a real shepherd, not a phony one. The Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd, and he leads us, guides us. And that Psalm 23 is the Psalm of the great shepherd. He walks with us, helps us through all adversity, and even through the valley of the shadow of death. Let's pray. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for these lovely moments gathered with our great shepherd. Thank you for your word, where we can see these beautiful pictures of the relationship that we have with Christ. And we're asking you that our hearts might have etched on them in indelible ink those beautiful words. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. I'm the chief shepherd. And we are his sheep. In total reliance and submission to him. Now thank you for these moments together, and we ask you that you would go with us our many ways. Bring us safely together again this evening as we gather once more with our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.